Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I want to bring you a message of hope. I think if there's anything we need at the moment, we need some hope. And the title of this message, I was actually undecided between two different titles. One of them was going to be called, You Can't Buy Me Love. And of course, I was going to break out with the, You Can't Buy Me Love. I was going to do that. But I didn't, because I changed the message title to Hope Is Not For Sale. And you'll know why I have titled it that just a little bit later on. But we pick up the story of an incredible guy called Naaman. You may have heard about Naaman before, but we read about this guy in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says, Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. But it says he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And that's quite interesting, because in these days you couldn't really even serve the king if you actually had leprosy. But this guy's in a peculiar position in that he is fighting battles for his king, but yet he's also got some needs in his own life. And we read the story, and it tells us that a young girl who says to her master, if only my master would go to the prophet in Israel, he will surely be healed. And I love that. I love that, because what ends up happening is the king of Syria sends a letter to the king of Israel, and he says, Now listen, I heard that you can heal my servant. And he thinks he wants to start a war with him. And in verse 8 it says, So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. You know, back in these days, whenever you got bad news, you just used to tear your clothes. Imagine we still did that today. Get some bad news, boom, tear your clothes. It says that he sent to the king. He said, Why have you torn your clothes? Please let this man Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love the fact that Elisha has got so much boldness. He's got so much faith in the power of God to heal this man. He says, Don't stress, just send him to me. Friends, I believe in this day and age, that's the boldness that God wants us to have. That when we see someone who may have some type of substance abuse, and our world may throw up its hands and say, How do we help these people? The Church of Jesus says, Hey, don't stress, guys, send them to us. Because we know that God can change their mindset, God can fill them with hope, God can break addictions. Friends, I've seen God do it over and over and over again. I've seen God heal marriages. I've seen God heal a father and a son who are in conflict over some financial problems. I've seen God do it over and over and over again. And friends, this is the boldness that we have. And so here we pick it up again in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. It says, So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and they waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. And here's the message. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of the leprosy. Do you know, we actually see in a moment that Naaman gets really angry that he came all this way, but Elisha didn't even bother coming out of his home. All he got was a messenger. Did you know sometimes you could be in prayer asking God to help you about different things in your life, and you can find yourself getting angry because what you're waiting for is a big, boomy voice from God and to give you the answer to your prayer. And sometimes all you get, friend, is a messenger. That's all you get. It could be your best friend who just says one thing around a coffee table, and that's actually God speaking. That's God giving you the advice that you're wanting, but you're wanting a big booming voice while you're on your knees. And God says, No, sometimes all you get is a messenger. Sometimes all you get is a podcast. Sometimes all you get is Lifehouse Church online. And you, believe me, friends, God can speak to us in so many ways. And let's not be frustrated as we find Naaman was here. And in verse 11, it says, but Naaman became angry and he walked away or stalked away. He says, I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, and I expected him to wave his hand all over my leprosy and call upon the name of the Lord his God and heal me. You know, he had an expectation of how God was going to fix his problem. And can I tell you right now, we need to let go of our expectations. We need to let go of how God is going to come through for us. We just need to be a little bit more faith abiding. We just need to live by faith. And we see that Naaman was messed up in the instructions he was given. And we see it in verse 12. He says, aren't the rivers of Damascus and the Abana and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers in Israel? What's he saying here? He's saying, I don't understand why this prophet wants me to do something when my logic tells me it would be better to do something else. And did you know there are going to be many times when God will tell you to do something and it just doesn't make sense in the natural realm. But friends, we're about to read that this man got his miracle, but he didn't get his miracle because something made sense. And we actually see that his friends gather around him and they say, hey, listen, if the prophet had have asked you to do something really difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And the answer is yes, he would have. And so they say, come on, he's asked you to do something so simple. And then in verse 14, it says, so he went down and he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was completely clean. What a great story that is. Let me encourage you, friend, the miracle didn't take place because of the river and the water and the going down seven times. It had very little to do with that. What it had a lot to do with was his faith. Friends, if God asks you to do something, you don't even need to know why. But when you do it, when the word of God tells us to do something, when a messenger comes and what we're hearing doesn't quite make sense, but we do it by faith, friends, we're going to see the same miracle that this man encountered. We will see it happen in our own lives. Amen. And then verse 15 comes along and it says, then he returned to the man of God. Now, this is where my message is, where the plot thickens. Are you ready? He returned to the man of God and all of his aides, and he came and he stood before him and he said, indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And then listen to what he says next. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Here's Naaman basically just so filled with gratitude that he now wants to do something because of the gift he has now received, which I can understand why he does that. Friends, for a lot of us, we have received the gift of salvation. We have received the gift of forgiveness. God has done something in our life, but we've got to be careful that we don't try and now buy our hope, buy our forgiveness, or buy our walk with God. Naaman, filled with gratitude, was trying to buy the miracle. But verse 16 kicks in, and this is Elisha speaking, and he says, but he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, he says, I will receive nothing. Friends, in this story, Elisha represents God. And Elisha is saying, guys, thank you for having a heart of gratitude toward your salvation and what I've done for you. But he says, but I refuse to take anything from you. And he urged him, but he refused. Why? Because hope is not for sale. Forgiveness is not for sale. And we have to be careful that we don't find ourselves doing what Naaman is trying to do here. Friends, he tried to pay for it and God said, no. And I don't know how long you've been a Christian for. Maybe you're not even a Christian yet. But friends, let me make something very, very clear to you. We cannot buy salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 makes it really clear. It says, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Simply, we cannot get to heaven one day and say, God, I purchased my salvation. God says, no, there was nothing you needed to do. I did it all myself. Now, I just need to get you excited about this next part. So here's Naaman. The guy is completely healed, which represents forgiveness. It represents having a walk with God. It represents all those wonderful things. And here comes Naaman, who left his country as a leper. Now he's coming back fully healed. And you could just imagine Naaman thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is such good news. And he was picturing himself standing on a podium in front of thousands of people. And in that group of people, there would have been some lepers. And somebody would have yelled out, Naaman, how did you get healed? And he would have said, I just dipped myself in a river and God has healed me. And people would have said, wow. And then someone would have yelled out, maybe a leper would have yelled out, hey, Naaman, how much did you pay? Because they would have been thinking, maybe I could go get healed too. And the good news is that Naaman was thinking, I can tell them, guys, it cost me nothing, absolutely nothing other than obedience, other than just putting my faith in what the man of God told me to do. He would have said, guys, it's completely free. And friends, let me tell you right now, the gospel of Jesus is completely free. And maybe some of you are thinking, what do I need to do? There must be something I need to pay. Friends, it's going to cost you your faith. Yes, faith in believing in what Jesus has done and stop believing in you trying to get yourself to heaven. It's complete faith in what Jesus has done. And so he would have been thinking, how good is this? I can go home and tell everybody, all you need to do is go to Israel, go to that river, boom, you are now healed. Now, if the story ended there, this is one of the best stories in the Bible. Except verse 9 says, that Elisha said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him just a short distance. What does that mean? Not too much longer. There was not too much time had passed until verse 20 happens. And it says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, he said to himself, my master should have not let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. What's he saying? My master should have taken some payment. He says, as surely as the Lord lives, I'm going to chase after him and get something from him. So Gehazi set off after Naaman. Friends, what a sad statement that is, because we read in verse 22 that Gehazi says to Naaman, my master has sent me to tell you that two prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived and he would like 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing to give to them. Friends, it's all gone wrong now because Gehazi has basically said that his master is demanding payment. So now when Naaman is to stand up in front of those thousands of people and someone was to yell out, hey, Naaman, how much to be healed? Now Naaman would have to say, and I've done the conversion rates for us. Now Naaman would have to say, hey guys, it's 68 kilos of silver. Now the reason I'm saying that is because Naaman offered to double the silver. 68 kilos of silver, guys, and two Hugo Boss suits. That's what Naaman is now going to have to say to those beautiful people. And friends, that's not the truth that Elisha wanted. And this is my whole message, friends. Do you know, when we first give our life to Jesus, we hear the perfect, pure message that there is nothing we can do to earn salvation. But friends, it's not long, just a short distance, just like Naaman. As we walk this journey, just a short distance, we hear a podcast, we listen to a message, we read a book. Someone somewhere tells you, friends, it's not free. It's Jesus and. And I want to tell you right now, friends, it's not Jesus and. It's not Jesus and, oh, you better read your Bible. Jesus and, oh, but you've got to go to church. And Jesus and, but you've got to give. Friends, those things are wonderful things. And I would say to you that they are important things, but it's not what saves you and I. It's not what heals us. It's not what gets our sins forgiven. It's not what develops a walk with God. It's not, friends. It happens because Jesus comes into our life for free. And that's my message today. I need you to receive it because I know that there are people that are watching right now and you've been a Christian for some time now and you're so confused about Christianity because you heard it was about Jesus, but now you're hearing about all these other important things. Oh yeah, they're important, but it doesn't buy you salvation. And now Naaman is thinking that his healing actually did cost him something. And friends, we call that spirit the spirit of religion. Religion is it's Jesus and. Religion is you trying to do something to somehow earn God's love, to earn his grace, to earn his forgiveness. That's what religion is. And friends, it's been around for a very, very long time. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where God says to Adam, he says, Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when the serpent is talking to the woman, have a look at this. This is only one person later, like one degree of separation here. And it says that the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees that are in the garden. She says, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. Did you hear that? She told the serpent the first part, which was correct. God did say we mustn't eat from that tree. But then she added, and you must not touch it. Friends, that was not the truth. She could touch that fruit as much as she liked, in actual fact. Wouldn't have been a smart thing to do. But she could actually touch the fruit. You just weren't allowed to eat it. How did she end up with that revelation? I don't know. Who told her that it's eat and you must not touch? Don't eat, don't touch. But friends, I see that happen all the time where people come to our church services or they go somewhere and they hear the perfect gospel. And then a little bit later it's, yeah, but I think it's Jesus and. And friends, when you believe that, it starts to cause your love for Jesus to fall apart. And we see in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it's made very clear for us, friends. It says, we are made right with God. Come on, read it with me. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Full stop. There's a full stop there, friends. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the message. It says, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, whether you're divorced, whether you've been bankrupt, whether substance abuse right now is playing a big part in your life. Friends, no matter who you are right now, God wants to be involved in your life. He wants to build a relationship with you simply by you putting your faith in him. Friends, I can't think of better news. Now, listen, you're probably thinking, oh, this is a great message for those that are maybe young in their faith. No. There have been people that I know have been walking with God for 30 years that have read their Bible three or four times from front cover to the back. And honestly, friends, these are people who still get caught up with Jesus. And I just got a question to ask you right now, friends. Is it just Jesus for you or is it Jesus and? Do you know, from the Ten Commandments, we know that it grew to 613 laws that the Jewish people needed to keep, friends. It just seems to go that way. It just seems to go that way naturally. How many of you know, even in your relationships, when you first started your relationship, it was just, hey, why don't we just hang out? And it was just so cool. And people were just happy to hang out together. And you know, and then from there, it leads to texting each other. And all of a sudden, someone in the friendship says, hey, you don't call me. You don't call me. Yeah, because we never called each other. Yeah, but no, if you were a true friend, you would call me. What's that person done? They've just added to the relationship now. And often it's those statements that actually pull a relationship apart. Or a couple who are getting married and it's, honey, I do, I just want to be with you, here's my ring and I just want to be... And then all of a sudden it's, yeah, but it's marriage and mow the lawn, cut the grass, or whatever it may be. Friends, it's easy for us to just add. We can often just add a whole lot of rules and laws. You know, one day someone approached Jesus and they said, actually, let's have a read of it. John chapter 6, verses 28, 29. It says, they asked him, what must we do to do the work that God requires? What are they saying? What do we need to do to make God happy? Is essentially the question. But Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. Friends, that's it. So how do you know if religion is beginning to play a part in your thinking? Do you find yourself trying to do things, whether it's go to a conference, whether it's, oh, look, there's a whole lot of things. I don't even want to suggest things to you because it may start adding to the problem. But do you ever find yourself attracted to doing things with human effort that you think will make God love you more? That somehow God will be more pleased with you because of the things that you're doing? Friends, when Jesus was dying on the cross and then he looks up to heaven and he says, Father, I commit to you my spirit. And then he yells out these words, it is finished. What do those words mean? What do they mean? What's finished, Jesus? It's quite simple. He was doing the work that makes us right with God. In other words, Father, these people don't need to do anything other than believe in me. Friends, is that what you believe today? You can't buy hope, friends. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy peace. These things are all free, regardless of what Gehazi says, regardless of what religion says, it's free, friends. And friends, this isn't a new thing. It's not a new thing. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was traveling from city to city, explaining to people, listen, I know you're enthusiastic. I know you're trying to do a whole lot of things, but it doesn't help you get right with God. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 2 to 4, I'm going to take my time to read this because it's powerful. He says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God. He says, but it is misdirected zeal. He says, for they don't understand that God's way of making people right with himself, refusing to accept God's way, watch this, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Are you doing things that you think keep you right with God? Are you doing things? Because he's saying it's misdirected. He says, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given, and as a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Full stop again. Those who believe are made right with God. Friends, I don't know how you do this thing called Christianity. But when I put my feet and I get out of the bed and I put my feet on the floor, I'm not thinking to myself, what do I need to do for God to love me? What do I need to do for God to forgive me, for God to do a work in my life? Hey, let's be clear. There's a whole lot of things that we can do that help us love God more. No doubt about it. Reading your word, spending time with great people, coming to church, all those things help you to love God more. But there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He's done it, friends. With all your mistakes, all your failings. No. God today would say what Elisha said to Naaman. I'm not here to receive anything from you. I'm not here to do that. It's Gehazi who wants to take something from us. It's people. It's other things. I don't want to be critical here this morning, today. I just want us to realize that there is a God out there who says hope is not for sale. Hope is for free. Love is for free. Forgiveness is for free.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.